in John chapter 4, to which we're returning now. So John 4, and he asks a woman for a drink, and she says, "It's funny, you should ask me for a drink. You're a man, and I'm a woman, and you're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan. That doesn't usually happen." And Jesus answered her, John 4:10, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And in verse 14, "Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." So last week we were asking, why is this woman like she is? Why is she like the way she is? And we saw there was some bad news there, that she is a sinner. And we also are sinners. But Jesus comes now and he offers something. He offers living water. So our question this week is, why does Jesus offer living water? Of all the things he could have said at this point, why does he just conjure out of nowhere, as it were, this image of living water and offer it to this woman? He asks for a drink in verse 7. And that's fair enough. It's very hot. It's the middle of the day. And he's tired, we're told. And then he offers the woman living water. So what's that about? Why is he offering living water? And last week we remember that we saw that human nature is sinful. And sinful human nature creates need. It means we're not functioning rightly. We're broken, we're damaged, and it creates need in our lives. And this is a need that Jesus is addressing when he's offering the woman living water. But for us to know that we need Jesus, our need must become apparent. We must become aware that we have need. And it's become apparent to this woman, she's a needy person, she's a disappointed person, she's an outcast woman, as we saw. Let me ask you this evening, has your need become apparent to you? Has your need of Jesus become apparent to you? And is your need of Jesus apparent to you tonight? Whatever you've done with Jesus in the past, and whether you've responded to him in the past, are you tonight aware that you need Jesus Christ? Well, here we are. Jesus, the Lord of glory, is really a man. And he's a tired and a thirsty man. And he's asking for water at the well. And this woman responds in verse 9 there. You can't do that. You can't ask me for water. Here's a few things to explain why she might have said that in verse 9. She says, "You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" Well, first of all, you can't ask me for a drink because you and I know, Jesus, that, well, she doesn't know his name at this point. You and I know it's not the done thing for men and women to speak to each other in our culture out in the open like this. So how can you even speak to me? You also know that I'm a Samaritan and you're a Jew. And given our long history of hostility to each other as races, we don't normally speak to each other anyway. We hate each other. And more than that, you Jews are very concerned about what's clean and what's not clean in a religious sense. And you've got nothing to draw water with out of this well, as she says in verse 11. So you'd have to use my container. But I'm a Samaritan and my container would therefore be a dirty, unclean container to you, unfit for your use. So how is it that you're asking me for a drink? It's not something I understand. It doesn't fit with what goes on in our cultures between Jews and Samaritans. What's going on? You're different. Now, this is a question, the question of verse 9 about how can you speak to me? I'm a Samaritan woman. It's a sort of question about nationalism, Jews and Gentiles. It's a question about gender. Well, our society today certainly is always asking questions about gender, and it's asking questions about nationalism. We understand questions like that, don't we? And you know how easy it is when you get into a conversation about nationalism, or indeed about gender, how easily the conversation can descend into a debate about your view versus their view, and it's about religion and it's about politics and all these things people are supposed to steer away from. And everyone has their argy-bargy with each other, and at the end it's just a big waste of time, because what happens at the end of the argument is that you come away even more strongly in your view and they go away even more strongly in their view. No one is persuaded. Why do we do that? How many conversations like that have you had? And, you know, in the Christian responsibility to share our good news with other people, we've got to watch we don't get into that, because it's a real trap. And it happens to me all the time when I'm visiting. People try to distract me, like this woman's trying to get into a religious kind of nationalistic gender question. And they try to distract you away from their need on Jesus, the living water. And Jesus just doesn't do distraction. He does straight talking. And we need to try and be very careful. We don't waste lots of time with people arguing about things that are going to leave no one any the better. We want to see people change, then we need to get them away from their pet moans. And we need to just offer them living water. And that's what Jesus does. And it really does seem a bit of a strange answer in verse 10, that he suddenly just brings up this living water. It seems a strange response, but it certainly does the job, doesn't it? It gets her thinking in new ways that she's never thought about before. And that's what we want to do. We pray always that God will give people light in these situations, that they'll start to see themselves and Jesus in new ways and understand who they are and why they need him and who he is and why he can satisfy their need. So Jesus says in verse 10, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Who does Jesus think he is to say that? The woman is immediately puzzled. Well, a minute ago you, the Jew, was speaking to me, a Samaritan woman. That was strange. But now, you're telling me you're the gift of God and that you can give living water. Who are you? And she's asking that question in her own way in verses 11 and 12. Where can you get this living water? She doesn't know what it is. What's this living water? And are you greater than our father, Jacob? I mean, Jacob, are you greater than Jacob? Who left us this well? I mean, that was 2,000 years before then. Jacob, long time ago. And the well was still there. Are you greater than him? Who are you, Jesus? You ever ask that question? And do you know the answer? Who are you, Jesus? Do you know who Jesus is? And do you know why it's a great thing to get the people around you asking that question too? So, who is Jesus? Because people have got all kinds of weird and wonderful ideas about that, uninformed ideas, sort of folk religion ideas and second-hand ideas about who Jesus is. We want to get them asking that. Are you greater than Jacob? What's living water? How can you give us that? And you see, Jesus wants to focus this woman on who he is. Now, that's not our job, to focus people on who we are. You know, when we want to tell other people about Jesus, you know, it's Jesus we're wanting to talk about. We're not trying to focus people on who we are. If we did that, if we spoke the way Jesus is speaking here, we'd be locked up. If I went around saying, I can give you guys living water, people would be disturbed by that. They'd think I was delusional. I would be delusional. But what about Jesus? Well, the day is hot, the land is parched that Jesus is in, and the nearest water is 100 feet down. It's a very deep well, this well, Jacob's well. It's 100 feet down a well. And yet Jesus is sitting there, and there's no sign of water anywhere except way, 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 way down this well shaft. And Jesus is saying, right now, I can give you not just water, I can give you living water. It's not water from this well. If you really knew who I am, you would ask me, and I would do wonderful things, miraculous things, amazing things for you. I can give you a spring of water in your life that will well up to eternal life, as he says in verse 40. Now that's some claim. What is the spring of water? What's Jesus speaking about? What is this living water? What is this thing he calls the gift of God? If you can ask Jesus for living water, what are you asking for? Can this living water of Jesus be put in a glass? Is it something you could drink? No, of course not. This is Jesus using picture language. It's a metaphor. So what's it a metaphor for? Is it for health? Is it for wealth? Is it a picture of being happy all the time? Is it a picture of long life? Well, it does give life, says Jesus. In fact, it gives eternal life, he says in verse 14. But what is it? What is this living water? If you look forward three chapters to chapter 7 of John's Gospel, Jesus tells us, or John actually tells us what it is. John 7:37, Jesus is in Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles. And in John 7:37, on the last and greatest day of the feast, it says, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice to the crowds, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, streams of living water will flow from within him. So it's the same picture again. What does it mean? And this time, John actually tells us. He says, verse 39, by this he meant the Spirit. The Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. The Spirit who would be given on the day of Pentecost. John is telling us that Jesus is offering us the very life of God, the Spirit of God, into our lives. Jesus is offering to fulfill an often presented Old Testament promise. The Old Testament says this often about God refreshing us. Isaiah 44 verse 3, for I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my Spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. Now this is enticing language. Spirit, living water, eternal life, the gift of God. Jesus is offering something very wonderful. And he's saying he is the one who is the source of it. He's the one who can give it. Now at this point, what's the Samaritan woman going to do, and what are we going to do? I mean, a Samaritan woman, I suppose she could have thought, this guy's mad. She could have turned on her heels and run back to Sychar as quickly as she could. And at this point, many people, if you try to present them with Jesus, the one who gives the Spirit, the one who gives life, eternal life, people do want to turn on their heels and run away from you. That spooks them. They say, whoa, I've got a nice life. Just as it is, thank you very much. And don't come into my space anymore with that stuff. Well, I hope you're not someone like that. I hope you're not someone who wants to run. Because it's not a good thing to run from. Jeremiah 17 says this, O Lord, those who turn away from you will be written in the dust because they have forsaken the Lord, the spring of living water. So, you're going to have a dry, dry life, a withered, wilted life, if you turn away from Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what else you look into in life. It's never going to satisfy the deepest need of your heart. It's never going to give you eternal life. It's never ever going to give you a relationship with your Creator and God. So we want to stay around like the woman does. And we want to find out about Jesus. That should be something we should all want to do. And that Jesus really can give us this gift. And the conversation is going to develop here at the end of the conversation in verse 25. Jesus is going to reveal to this woman, he's not just going to be able to give her living water. He is the one they've all been looking for, Jews and Samaritans, the promised Messiah. And turns out that he gets invited to go back to the village and to spend time there, and he stays there for a couple of days. And by the end of his stay, in verse 42, people are going to be saying, this man really is the Savior of the world. They're going to see and understand who Jesus is. The living water is going to be in their lives. And their lives are going to change, be refreshed, be renewed. The never-ending supply of God's grace and presence. I want all of you to know that, because Jesus does. He wants you to know that. It says to you, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that's speaking to you today out of this scripture here, Jesus, you would ask him and he would give you living water. You can ask him and he will give you living water. If your life is withered, like this woman's life was, disappointed, empty, searching but not finding, your search can end when you discover who Jesus is. You put away all your hang-ups and your grudges and all your pet issues. Just open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's really interesting in this passage that there's no record of Jesus doing any miracles. No miracles. The only thing that's sort of really miraculous in any sense in the passage is that divine insight Jesus has that we looked at last week, verse 17, you've got no husband, verse 18, you've had five husbands and the man you're with is not your husband. That prophetic insight that the woman recognizes. And yet, even though Jesus doesn't do any miracles, it seems that on the basis just of his words, many, many people respond to him. As they say in verse 42, we have heard for ourselves, and we know this man really is the Savior of the world. They're not saying, well, we've seen some really amazing things. Jesus has healed people, and Jesus has, you know, he's turned water into wine or whatever. There's nothing of that at all. It's just listening to Jesus that's done it. Now, this evening, you might like Jesus to do a miracle. It would be nice, wouldn't it, to have a miracle. There's something that's really not right in your life, and you just ask Jesus and he would just zap it with a miracle and make it all fine. Well, we'd all like that. I mean, wouldn't that make it easier to believe in him? And yet here is a situation where lots of people come to believe Jesus is the Savior of the world, and there's no miracles about. It's just because they listened to Jesus. They really listened. Are you really listening to Jesus? Or, you know, are his words tonight just like passing you by? Are you listening? Are you drinking in his words? Because we can be like someone like trying to run a marathon. And, you know, when you run a marathon, there's all these water stations along the route. And if you get any sense, you'll stop, and or maybe not stop, but you'll grab a bottle of water and take in some more water each stage along the way, so that when you get to the end, you're still well hydrated. Well, are you like a marathon runner who's just trying to run without water? Passing by every water station, every opportunity Jesus gives you for you to drink in his word. Listen to what he's saying to you, just trying to keep going and missing the refreshing? Or are you like those Samaritans here who really listened to Jesus? And they did, they listened, and they took hold of his word, and they were hydrated, they were refreshed with his word. Because when we get the opportunities to hear Jesus' word, whether it's us opening our Bibles ourselves on Monday morning before we go to work, or whether it's in church like this, or whatever it is, when we get the opportunity, you know, we should really pray, Lord Jesus, let me drink in your word. Let me listen to what you're saying. Because these Samaritans, they listened, and it was all they needed to do. Just listening carefully to what Jesus was saying, they understood, and they believed that he was the Savior of the world, and their lives were changed. We listen like that, or are we so used to kind of the terrain of the Bible and what God says and to hearing it in church or whatever, that we just never listen and we never ever get the refreshing that Jesus wants to put into our lives every day? Don't miss that. Whenever you get a chance through the Bible, turn into a prayer, make it an earnest prayer. Lord, speak to me. Lord, help me to hear what you're saying. Help me to take what you're saying. Help me to understand it and believe it and use it in my life. I want life. So let's just close by asking again, why does Jesus offer this living water? And let's give three very brief reasons. Well, the first reason is because he can. Because he can. The story of Jesus continues through the Gospels, and it shows him doing amazing and godlike things. He is truly unique and he's glorious. Jesus Christ, he does these miracles, he teaches these wonders, and then he ends his life as a sacrifice for our sins. And then after that, he rises from the dead. It's a glorious thing. And he ascends to be at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And then a few days later on the day of Pentecost, he sends the living water. He sends his Spirit to the church. And the church has had the Spirit, the presence of Jesus with us ever since. And if we're willing, we can know that his power in our lives. He offers the living water because he can offer it. He's the only one, and he can. He can give you his Spirit. He can give you life. The second reason is because we need it. He offers us because we need it. There is nothing in you or in me that can generate eternal life. And you know that, and I know that only too well. So we saw last week what is in us is that we are, like this woman, sinners. And that makes us more and more thirsty, because our sin brings guilt, and it brings separation from God, and it separates us from other people too, and the relationship, the closeness that we want, gets further and further away from us, because our sin separates us from people and from God, makes us thirsty for relationship, but we're less and less capable of having it. And there's a real danger for people they're gonna end their lives spiritually dehydrated with no strength left to seek Jesus. And it's hard when you see people who are at the end of their lives and they're so dry in spiritual terms, and they've hardly got any strength left, because all along the way of life they've refused the life that Jesus offered to them. And we're not to be like that. Jesus is offering us eternal, the water of life, the living water, because we need it. And we just need to get our bucket in the well and just keep drawing out, going to Jesus and getting life. And finally, he offers it. He offers living water because he loves us. You see, can you see the urgency in what Jesus is saying to the woman here? He is saying to her, look, you're asking me a legitimate question. Why am I a man, Jewish man, speaking to you, a Samaritan woman? And we could talk about this all day. But he's saying, I'm not going to talk about it all day, because there's something urgent that you need to hear. And that is that you, woman, you need living water. And I can give it to you. You really need it. And I love you, and I care for you and for your people. And I'm not going to waste time talking about other things when I can tell you about this. So no matter how you're going to respond, whether you're going to hate me for telling you this, or whether you're going to run away or whatever, you need living water, and I can give it to you. And he's doing that because he loves her and he loves us. Life comes from him. The living water, the Spirit, eternal life. So why would we be parched and empty today? You know, sometimes I meet Christians and say, oh, I've not done much praying recently. Not been reading my Bible much, or, you know, not been meeting with Jesus much. Why? Why? Why would you be like that? Jesus loves you. You need him. You need that living water. Why would you not want to just get with him and drink what he lovingly supplies to you? Among the very last words in the Bible in Revelation 22 are these words: whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. And who says that? The Spirit and the Bride. God himself, by his Spirit, says, come, come and drink. But the Bride is the church. We must say it too. We say it to one another. We say it to the people outside. We're invited, and we're inviting as well, to come to that living water. So I plead with you, take the living water of Jesus and just keep coming and coming and coming and receiving his refreshing in your life. But also, take it to others. Offer it to others. Tell them about Jesus and what they can have from him. If they go to him and ask for living water, they won't be disappointed. They will be satisfied.